How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to episode number 502 of Smart Podcast Trashy Books. I'm Sarah Wendell, and my guest today is Kate Spencer, who is an author and the host of the podcast Forever 35, which you may have listened to. Her new book, In a New York Minute, is out this week, and y'all, this book is so charming and fun. And in our conversation, we are going to talk about vulnerability and projecting narratives onto strangers, especially on social media. And we're going to talk about vintage rom-coms. She is a romance fan and a rom-com fan, and it's a pleasure to talk to somebody who is so affectionate towards the genre, just like we are. I will have links to all of the books and the movies we talk about in the show notes. You can find everything at smartbitchestrashybooks.com/podcast. Hello, and thank you to our Patreon community for making this episode possible and for making sure that every episode has a transcript. Hi, Garlic Knitter. I have a compliment this week to Kirsty. You are the personification of bottomless perfect cocktails at a brunch where the coffee is flawless, food is just right, and the company is exquisite. If you would like to have a compliment of your very own, have a look at our Patreon community, patreon.com/smartbitches. This episode is brought to you in part by Stamps.com. I feel like such a real podcaster when I say that. Even though I am a small business owner who works mostly on the internet, I do still have things to mail for my business. I have giveaways to run. I have prizes to ship. I send books in the mail all the time. And as much as I like the people who work at my local post office, without fail, when I go, there are always 50 people who have arrived just before me. With Stamps.com, you skip the trip and focus on other things. Stamps.com lets you print official postage right from your computer and saves you money in the process. And you get discounts you can't find anywhere else, like up to 40% off USPS rates and 76% off UPS. All you need is a computer and a standard printer. There's no special equipment, no special supplies. Stop overpaying for shipping with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code Sarah for a special offer that includes a 4-week free trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code Sarah. This episode is brought to you in part by Bombas. Bombas's mission is simple. Make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you are also giving to someone in need. Bombas designed their socks, shirts, and underwear to be the clothes you cannot wait to put on every day. Everything they make is soft, seamless, tagless, and has a luxuriously cozy feel. There is a pair of Bombas socks for everything you do, and they come in a ton of options like comfortable performance styles, I was so excited to receive a pair of Bombas socks as a gift. They are wonderful. They are warm and snug and perfect for hanging out and walking the dogs when it's cold out. I also have a new merino wool long sleeve shirt that I absolutely adore. It is not itchy. It is warm. It is soft and so comfortable. Go to bombas.com/Sarah and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Sarah for 20% off. bombas.com/Sarah. This episode is brought to you in part by Osea. Wherever you are in the world, the seasons are probably starting to change. And for me, that means warmer, which means shorts and short sleeves and more moisturizer for my skin. And if you are looking for gentle, soothing self-care, have a look at Osea. You've probably heard me talk about how much I love the Osea body oil. It soaks in easily, it is never greasy, and I can't tell you how smooth and soft my skin feels. I just adore it. Osea also has a hyaluronic C serum that I tried, and wow, I love how hydrated and soft my skin feels after I use it. It is perfect after I wash my face. All of Osea's products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, climate neutral, and created with sustainably sourced seaweed. And made in California, so you can feel good about what you are putting on your skin. Find your new skincare favorites at OseaMalibu.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 10% off your first order with promo code Sarah at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order, and orders over $50 get free shipping. You're going to want it all. Go to OseaMalibu.com and use code Sarah. This episode is brought to you in part by Fast Growing Trees. It is almost spring, and I can't wait to start filling in the bare areas of my yard with some of my favorite plants. When it comes to caring for your plants, know-how matters. That's why FastGrowingTrees.com's experts curate thousands of plant varieties that will thrive in your specific climate, location, and needs. There's no waiting in lines and no messy cars from hauling plants all over town, because you order online or over the phone and your plants are shipped to your door in 1 to 2 days. Plus, their growing and care advice is available 24/7. Whether you're looking for increased privacy, shade, or just adding some natural beauty to your yard, Fast Growing Trees have the perfect plants and the expertise to help you find them. Even if you've never had a green thumb, they will make you feel like you do. 1 million home gardeners have already seen what FastGrowingTrees.com can do for them. Last year, I bought 2 hydrangeas, and I am so excited to see them in this spring. And we even got my mother-in-law a gift card to Fast Growing Trees for her birthday this year. And with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, you can trust that everything will be healthy for years to come. Go to FastGrowingTrees.com/Sarah right now, and you will get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at FastGrowingTrees.com/Sarah. FastGrowingTrees.com/Sarah. This episode is brought to you in part by Headspace. Do you ever feel like your mind doesn't have an off switch, or that tension is constantly traveling through your body? Or do you feel tired no matter how much you sleep? That is just one of the few ways that stress, anxiety, and sleeplessness can harm your mind and your body. This year, why not make small changes to your daily routine that have a big influence on your mental health and well-being? Start your year with Headspace. We all say we're fine when we don't really mean it, but fine isn't really an emotion, is it? How many times have you told yourself you're fine when all you've really felt is anger or sadness or just nerves? Headspace is scientifically proven to help you manage your feelings and your mental health. In fact, a recent study proved that in just 2 weeks, Headspace can reduce your stress by 14%. Whether you want to relieve stress and anxiety, sleep better, or improve your focus, Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness for real life. I personally love the courses on anxiety and on happiness, but I really love the sleepcasts. My favorite is still Cat Marina. However you're feeling, try Headspace at headspace.com/Sarah and get 1 month free of their entire mindfulness library. This is the best Headspace offer available, so go to headspace.com/Sarah today. headspace.com/Sarah. Are you ready to start this episode? Let's do the thing. On with my conversation with Kate Spencer.
My name is Kate Spencer, and I am a writer and a podcaster. And previously, I wrote a memoir that came out in 2017 called The Dead Moms Club, which I'm sure you can guess from the title what is it is about. It's about grief and losing my mom. And I have a new book coming out on March 15th called In a New York Minute that is the complete opposite of my first book. It is a fiction romantic comedy set in New York, inspired by so many rom-coms that I have loved throughout my life. And so that is very exciting, and I get to talk to you about that today. And then I'm also a podcaster, and I co-host a podcast that is very loosely about self-care in all the many ways it can manifest in our lives. And that is called Forever 35.
Awesome. Congratulations on all of these things.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I am so excited to talk to you about In a New York Minute. I know you have to describe it a lot as an author. I'm also an author. I've done this many times. How do you describe this book for people?
You know, at its heart, this book is a romantic comedy. It Yep. is, I think, in the end, a light read that will hopefully be a comfortable escape from the world. Yep. It's a dual point of view. We have our heroine, Franny, who is having the really, really one of the worst days of her life after getting laid off, walking home, sweating, lugging her bag. She gets onto the New York City subway. It's still rush hour. And it's so packed. She's pressed up against the door. And when she goes to kind of move, once the train starts rumbling, you know, into the on the tracks, she realizes that her dress has been stuck in the subway doors and has just ripped. And of course, a kind of grumpy, handsome gentleman steps in to offer her his suit jacket. And they have this meet cute that from the outside looks very romantic and is captured by people around them and goes viral on Instagram, when in reality, it was very awkward and uncomfortable and they did not hit it off at all. And, you know, through the magic of New York and circumstance, they keep getting brought together. And when they first meet again, they think they're, you know, completely wrong for each other. But of course, by the end of the book, spoiler alert, there's a happy ending. This is romance. And, you know, through getting to know each other, they really realize that they have a lot more in common than they thought. And, you know, the story really involves, obviously, them. They're at the heart of the story, but it also explores friendship and family and friends who feel like family. And it's all set in New York City, which was my former home and still my favorite place in the world. So I got to really kind of also celebrate that love you feel, you know, falling in love with a place, which can feel very romantic in a lot of ways.
It absolutely can. I used to live in Montclair and commuted a lot into mm-hmm. Manhattan. Reading this book, it was like visiting a lot of pieces of New York.
Thank you.
There's a quote that I highlighted about how when you're really familiar with a place like New York, a corner coffee shop that looks completely nothing from the outside is a whole universe to you because of how much that little space means to you. And I love the part that even though they have no reason to cross paths, once they do again and again and again and again, accidentally and on purpose. And I'm like, yep, this all sounds very true. It must have been tremendous fun to write those parts.
It was. It was really fun because there is, you know, obviously it's fiction. And so I get to, you know, create this world where these two characters keep meeting coincidentally, but there is a real kernel of truth to that. If you've lived, I think, in any large city where it starts to feel extremely small, you know, there are millions of people around you and you're going about your life and somehow you keep running into the same person or you see the same people or you end up at the same place. And it does begin to kind of have that small town feel. So it was very satisfying to get to, you know, celebrate the things I love and loved about living in New York, with, of course, like the magic fairy dust of getting to write fiction. So making it just a little more sparkly than the real thing, but trying to keep it very authentic. I wanted people who live in New York or who have lived in New York to feel like this was an authentic send up of the city and also an authentic story about two people, because these things can happen in New York. I had some very wild run-ins that turned into friendships or relationships. And I wanted to try to capture that.
I definitely think you did, because I know I've had the experience of almost meeting somebody and your gravity changes, your center of gravity changes, and suddenly more people are in your orbit that you didn't necessarily see all the time, or now you recognize them because they are in your orbit. The two characters introduce each other to their respective neighborhoods.
Yeah.
It's their tiny little orbits.
Yeah. And then also the neighborhood where you work, like all these little worlds begin to kind of open up to you. And I think that's what's so magical about when you start dating someone in a city, like, you know, you might live in the same city, but their world could be so different from yours.
Oh yeah.
And all of a sudden you're opened up to this whole new thing, which kind of happens in the book. Like Franny has lived in New York, you know, for 11 or 12 years, but has never walked across the Brooklyn Bridge. Like you don't do the kind of touristy magical things in the city where you live.
And going, doing the touristy things almost reintroduces you to the place where you live, where you see it as a newcomer might see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I've lived in Los Angeles for the last 10 and a half years.
Slightly different from yeah, New York. Just a very little.
Very different. I love getting to live in California, but this was a really kind of nice way for me to torment my homesickness for New York City and also make it feel better, you know, just get to imagine what it'd be like to live there again. And that felt really good.
I know that experience. I wrote a Hanukkah novella set at a Jewish summer camp. And so I got to be at camp when I was writing it, even though it was November. I was like, oh, I get to be at camp when I go. Okay, got to go write. Got to go to camp. Bye. Yep. Made me so happy.
So my next book is set at a summer camp. So we need to talk. And I need to read your novella tonight.
We need to talk. I will send it to you. Oh, my gosh.
I would absolutely love that. Camp is another one of those magical places that I want to transport everybody to.
That was exactly what I wanted. That's exactly what I wanted. So I have to say thank you for teaching me some of the intricacies of Instagram, because I am not fluent in Instagram. And the way that your characters talk about it was so funny. But one of the things, and this is not a spoiler because this is in the first chapter. The first chapter does a lot. She goes viral. Franny goes viral. And all of her immediate friends recognize this is not a good thing.
Yeah.
I have a close friend who I host another podcast with. Her name is Alicia Ryan. She went viral about a tweet about cake pops, and it was on Good Morning America, and it was on the Today Show, and it was on Hoda and Kathy Lee. And she was like, I am underground now. I'll come out in a month. Like, it was like my first question for her was like, oh my God, are you okay? And it's a vulnerability going viral. And the thing I love about the setup of this book, if I could just compliment you to your face, because that's not a word.
Thank you. This is so satisfying. Thank you.
That it's almost a double, triple vulnerability. She gets laid off. Her dress rips in the subway. Her ass is literally showing. She's crying. A stranger helps her out. And then their moment on the subway becomes a viral narrative that they can't control. And it is so much vulnerability all in one chapter. What was it like exploring so much feelings of just self-consciousness in different directions in the first chapter? Was there a point where you were like, is this too much?
No, this isn't too much. Just keep going.
Just keep throwing like spaghetti at this poor character.
Yeah.
It tapped on a lot of things that interest me. Mm-hmm. As a person, like for me, Kate Spencer, I have a hard time asking for help. I have a hard time being vulnerable in public, and I'm very self-conscious. And so exploring what that would be like, even just kind of thinking about how can we still celebrate the human body and being accepting and loving towards our bodies while also admitting that like even showing our butt in our underwear on the subway would still be embarrassing and make us feel self-conscious. I had kind of been playing around with this meet cute idea just after watching in kind of the, you know, from like 2014, 15 to 2018, 19, there were so many instances of other people kind of narrating viral moments and putting stories upon people as if like they were casting them in a, you know, creating a story around a situation that was not always true.
Yep.
And as an observer of just pop culture and the internet, that really blew, and also a lover of romance and romantic comedies. Like that was interesting for me because the biggest one was Plain Bays, where a couple switched seats with two people on a plane and sat directly behind them and then kind of narrated the story of these two strangers who had taken their seats, connecting and falling in love.
I wanted to die. Just reading that, I had so much secondhand embarrassment for that couple. I was like, I cannot.
So much. But also, you know, the way my brain works, any story anybody tells me, I'm looking for the romance in the story. Like I love romance so much that I'm just always trying to find it. So it was hard for me to like want the romance to be real while also recognizing that it was like really inappropriate to be documenting this without these people's permission. And then, you know, realizing, of course, there was no romantic connection. It was completely just a fabric. You know, it was fiction. And so all of these things were kind of in my mind and wondering what it would be like to experience all of them at once. And then, you know, in a big city like New York, people process big things and big emotions publicly all the time.
Oh, yes.
And, Yeah, like I have gotten awful news on the middle of Broadway and just sat there and wept in public. And so that was another element of it, this kind of like, how do we handle and help strangers who are going through something really challenging in public, who may or may not want to receive support?
Yep.
It's a lot of stuff.
It is a lot.
In the first chapter.
Now, one of my favorite parts of the book is how Lola and Cleo, who are Franny's best friends, show up for her, literally show up, like drop everything to provide support. What were some of your favorite moments writing their friendship?
I truly loved every second of it. And it's so interesting as a writer, when you write a first draft, you know, you don't, like, they were still very underdeveloped as characters in the first draft. And, you know, it's this book has gone through so many revisions and drafts that now they feel really fully realized and a real part of her life. But for me, it's really based on my own friendships. And I just have friends who they will show up, they will call you in as needed if you are not pulling your weight as a person, but they will show up. And
there's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To get to write women friends as kind and supportive and respectful and funny and smart was just like, it was just a blast. And it's completely based on people I know and the way we get to treat each other and hopefully how I am as a friend. I mean, let's be honest, you know, I always want to try to improve as a friend, but they just made me laugh, you know, like they nicknaming every person they hook up with. That is something that I think many friend groups do. You know, nobody calls an actual hookup by their real name. I don't know, like half the people my friends have hooked up with, I know them by their like character names that we give them. So, and just, you know, especially in my 20s, when I was especially broke, we did a lot of like sitting around on steps and on fire escapes and on roofs, hanging out and drinking cheap beer and eating like, you know, falafel from the, you know, place down the street.
Now I want falafel.
And so I wanted to really capture that. Also, that makes me really want a falafel.
I want falafel like right now.
Does that sound good? Yeah. I know.
One of the other things that I love about Lola and Cleo is that they have fully realized lives. They aren't accessories to Franny. Mm. They are independent people. Wait. Is one of them going to camp in the next book?
No.
Okay.
I have
to make sure, because like, I was going to say, what? Well, one of them's okay. We can't send them to camp.
there's no tie-in to the. They're both standalones, but I'm trying to. Maybe there'll be some little Easter eggs that connects everybody, because I always love that as a reader.
I love that too. Yes, but I love how they have their own lives. There's multiple stories. Mm. I can see how much work went into revising them and making them into people.
You.
It's really, really lovely to read friendships between women where they're like, okay, I will drop everything and find you because clearly you need someone with you.
Yeah. I mean, I loved getting to kind of create these humans who are sometimes they're figuring out who they are and other times they feel very secure in who they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were also moments where it was like, I can't be there right now. I'm working. Like I have other things going on.
Mm-hmm.
But how can I support you in this moment?
Yeah.
Which is, to me, I was also hoping to kind of give them healthy boundaries.
Yes. Was it a hard decision, or is this predating COVID enough that there's no COVID in the book. And I feel like we're at one of those weird fiction dividing lines, like with 9/11 as well. You know, does that exist in this book world or not?
I wrote this all pre-COVID. So I was basically like putting the finishing touches on the draft with my agent to send out on submission, like in right when COVID was kind of hitting.
Yeah.
So this world, this was really interesting. There's, you know, this was all written before there is no COVID yet. And, you know, this book was going out on submission when COVID not only just hit the United States and the world, but was peaking in New York so intensely. Yeah. And it was a little surreal then being like, here's this book about New York where this awful thing doesn't exist. I mean, for me, romance is self-care, and I read it to have that good feeling, to have that, to just get a break, especially right now when things just feel very heavy. And so,
oh yes,
I feel okay about there not.
No, it's being totally
COVID
fine
yet in this world. Yeah, because I'm like, well, this is a mental break from even the reality that has faced New York in the last 2 years. But I am very curious as to how that's all going to play out in fiction. I'm very, very curious.
It's a big question. It's a very big question. And we've been here before. We will be here again.
We will be here again. Yep. That's a good point.
Now, your publicist, Estelle, who I adore, she's fabulous, told me that you love When Harry Met Sally.
I do.
And
I love it so much.
Book, there is some very excellent high-grade love for Moonstruck, which is among my very favorite movies, which proves that you have absolutely exquisite taste in vintage rom-coms. And I'm curious if you have a top three of the vintage rom-coms, because I once broke down my rom-coms from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. And my 80s list, I think I need to go back and watch all of them. But I'm curious what your vintage faves are.
This is such a great question, and it's one I've kind of been rehashing. I watch When Harry Met Sally probably 2 times a year. It is everything to me. And it's been interesting rewatching it, you know, as when you go back and watch these films, especially the ones made in the 80s, the level of problematic content, racism, homophobia, misogyny, just...
The gay panic is tangible in some of these.
Oh, unreal. And it's way more recent than I would like to imagine.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm a little hesitant to go, like I haven't watched, you know what I used to love? I used to love Can't Buy Me Love.
Yep.
I love a fake dating. I love a fake dating trope.
Yep.
That's a classic fake dating movie. I haven't seen that movie in probably like 20 years. Mm-hmm. I am guessing I would not recommend it based on what I imagine is very problematic content. But I do think I went back and I read like Nora Ephron's I Feel Bad About My Neck, which has some kind of dated stuff, but she's interesting to me as a writer because I do feel like her rom-coms have really held up.
Yeah.
And I think Nancy Meyers I think hers have as well.
Yep.
And so obviously When Harry Met Sally, I love Moonstruck. I prefer Sleepless in Seattle over You've Got Mail. I've never been a big You've Got Mail person, but I did give Sleepless in Seattle a rewatch, and that's a little odd. It's a little odd. So I'm not quite sure if they totally hold up.
It's only a little stalking. It's not a lot of stalking. It's only just like 60% stalking.
Just a little.
Which is fun.
Just a little. I don't know if I feel comfortable actually going in and being like, these are the ones. I will say one movie that I think you could argue is a romantic comedy is Pride and Prejudice, and the 2005 Pride and Prejudice movie starring Keira Knightley, I have probably watched over 100 times.
Oh, me too. I have it saved on my phone. It's my plane movie.
Same.
It's my I need to turn my brain off movie. If I need to instant really relax, I put on the soundtrack.
Yes. Same.
I love
it. I could sing that to me. I mean, obviously, Austin holds up for, you know, centuries.
Yeah.
But that to me is just the perfect romantic comedy. And I love the 2000. I've watched the BBC 6 Hour, but I'm a Matthew McFadden Darcy fan. So
I get it.
That would be my recommendation.
My vintage rom-com that I need to go back and rewatch because I'm not entirely sure it holds up, although my memories of the feelings in which it inspired in me are crystalline and gorgeous and wonderful, is Roxanne from 1987.
Oh, that was like my mom's favorite movie. I wonder if Roxanne still holds up.
I don't know. And it's interesting because there's another Cyrano remake coming up with Peter Dinklage. But the thing about That's Roxanne right. is I didn't know this. It was adapted and written. The screenplay was by Steve Martin. He wrote the screenplay for that, which I did not know. And I
don't think I knew that either.
I love that movie because of Steve Martin, but I really love it because of Shelley Duvall as the best friend.
Oh, I know.
It's such a good friendship movie, that one.
So good. I think, you know what, that friendship is so, like, a great rom-com always has a great friendship.
Yes.
A great romantic comedy always passes the Bechdel test.
Yes.
It, like, it's not just about, you know, heterosexual swooning over a man. There's always so much more depth to it. And they never get credit for that. I think that's such a great, friendship. Now I need to go back and rewatch Roxanne. I haven't seen that in years.
It is so interesting to me how the foundational elements of romance stories reappear in different formats every 5 to 10 years. And I love it. Like, I'm never going to run out.
No, I don't find it. It's never repetitive because there are so many people creating such interesting work that the spins that are getting and the just the work that's being done is so inventive and interesting. It never gets boring. And there's a comfort to it for me. Yeah. Like, I'm always like, I love an enemies to lovers. I know what's going to happen here. Like, hate each other all you want, because
it's fine. I know
this is
going to
turn out well. Yeah. Yeah. This is a safe space for you to hate each other.
And like you said, with your world in a New York minute, so many people have turned to romance right now in the past 2 years, just because it is a wonderful place. As one of my writers, Carrie, says, it's a wonderful place to put your anxiety, because, you know, in this world, you know what the end goal is, you know where you're going to end up. And so it's okay to entrust your emotions to this particular story, because the beats are familiar, you know what's going to happen, and you know where you're going.
I think that is so vital about this genre. And so, I mean, look, romance gets trivialized in so many ways, and it drives me crazy because it's such an important genre of writing. But
can confirm.
Yes, I really feel that strongly. I feel that as a reader. Like, for example, when my mom passed away many years ago, the thing that got me kind of reading again was contemporary YA romance.
Yep.
And, you know, just recently through Omicron, I was so overwhelmed, and I got really into Ice Planet Barbarians. I'm still reading. I've read like 30 of them.
My biggest email request now is, I liked this, I need to find more. Can you please help?
Yes.
Like, first of all, I'm a very expensive person to email. I'm a very expensive person to know. But yes, I can help you find more. Now, speaking of podcasting, I adore your podcast. Thank you for teaching me ways to make my skin calm down. Oh, my God.
It is an honor. Thank you very much for giving it a listen. I appreciate that.
Oh, I've been a subscriber for a very long time.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
When you started it, did you think it would end up being what it is?
No. Like, 100 times no. We started working on it. My memoir was coming out, and so I was overwhelmed with this very personal book coming into the world. And it was 2017.
Yep.
So I was also overwhelmed by the American political system, just really like curled up into a ball of despair half the time. I just was like, it would be nice to talk about just, like, you know, how we're taking care of ourselves. And sometimes those things can feel very mundane and like silly, but I still want to talk to people about them.
Absolutely.
And I want to feel like it's okay. So no, we started it really for fun. And it really took on a life of its own very quickly. And it was very unexpected. And now it's my job. And I'm so grateful. I actually said to a friend yesterday, I was like, I can't believe that I am so lucky that I get, like, half my job is podcasting and the other half is writing books. And these are things I've always wanted to write.
Yep.
Fiction, and podcasting is so much fun. And it's such a privilege that that's what I'm doing, and I'm paid to do it. So, long answer, but yeah, no, we didn't. And I'm so honored that there was a community of listeners eager for, like, listening to us talk about creams and also, like, therapy.
Yep. It's a gift, right? To keep people company. It's lovely. It is such a lovely thing. What are your favorite parts of podcasting? Is it getting voicemail from people? Is it getting recommendations from people? Like, what are your favorite parts of it?
I mean, at the end of the day, it has been incredibly moving to hear from listeners who have been going through whatever hard time in their life and have gotten something out of our podcast. Mm-hmm. That is so beyond my imagination, and not something I ever really thought about when we started, to know that we get to keep, not just keep people company, but have kept people company through a pandemic mm-hmm. or through some really hard times. That means like the world to me. And the community of listeners that our show has, they're just fun, generous, kind people. This is great. I feel like you're all my friends. I hope that's okay. I think of you strangers as my friends.
So I always ask this question. What books are you reading that you would like to tell people about?
Okay. So I've been asked this a lot lately. The honest answer is that I truly have been reading mostly Ice Planet Barbarian books since late November. But I'm happy to report a few others have broken in. So I do love Ice Planet Barbarians. Recommend. I just finished Farah Haran's new book, Camila Knows Best. She writes just really delightful, romantic, like pure-hearted romantic comedies. This book is a send-up of Emma, Jane Austen's Emma. It's just so sweet and romantic. And also she just writes really fun feminist women. And I really enjoy that about her work. So I just finished that. I'm doing an event with her. I'm very excited because I've sent her like fangirly DMs for the last year. So I loved the book before that she wrote, Accidentally Engaged. She also writes cooking really well. A friend of mine, Alyssa Sussman, has a romance coming out called Funny You Should Ask that is based on a relationship between an entertainment writer and a celebrity that she interviews, where their story kind of also kind of goes viral and it's the story that makes her famous as a writer because it kind of alludes to the fact that something more might have happened between them. And then 10 years later, she's asked to interview him again. And it's told through, dual timelines. And she's just a great writer. I recently read and blurbed the book, The Mutual Friend by Carter Bays, who is one of the creators of How I Met Your Mother. This book is another book set in New York City. And it like ripped my heart open.
Oh,
it's
no.
Just... it was so good. And at the end, it was one of those books where I was like, I'm just going to finish. Like, it's 1 a.m. I have to keep going. And then I couldn't sleep because I was like blubbering in my bed for 30 minutes. But it was just beautifully written. And not a romance book, but Marissa Renee Lee has a new book coming out called Grief is Love. And as a person who has written about grief, I'm always really interested in other books about grief. Mm-hmm. And specifically losing her mom. And she just writes really beautifully about grief. I've been reading that in small bites and it's just lovely. And I think anytime anyone has gone through a big traumatic loss of a person in their life, it can feel so isolating.
Yeah.
And books really got me through and it's what inspired me to write one. And so her book is coming out later this year and it's really great.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for doing this interview. I really, really appreciate your time.
This was such a pleasure. I've been reading your site for many years.
Oh,
so,
gosh, thank you.
So this was like, I feel like, I don't know, like I'm very excited to be here, I have to say.
Oh, thank you. I'm really honored.
And you know what, have been some reviews on your site that have really like opened my eyes to things I wasn't seeing in certain books that were very impactful. So
yeah.
I really appreciate the work that you guys are doing.
And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you to Kate Spencer for hanging out with me and talking about romantic comedies. And thank you to Estelle, her publicist, who helped set this interview up. If you would like to find a copy of the book or any of the other books and movies we mentioned, everything's in the show notes at smartbitchestrashybooks.com. I do have some questions I would love to know the answers to, though. What is your favorite vintage rom-com? Or not vintage, if there's a new one you love most. What rom-com should I be watching next? Email me at sbjpodcast@gmail.com or leave a voice message at 201-371-3272. I love hearing from you and I would love to know, what's your favorite vintage rom-com?
What stories have your very favorite portrayals of friendship? And, you know, what city is your favorite? I would love to hear from you. And as always, I end with a terrible joke. This joke comes from Maggie, who in our 501st episodes showed me pictures, and I shared with you, of an entire door of bad jokes. And this is another one of Maggie's door of bad jokes. Why don't you see penguins in Britain? Why don't you see penguins in Britain? They're afraid of whales. You know what's great? When you learn Welsh in Duolingo, one of the first things it teaches you is to say, good morning, dragon, and I am a dragon. And if you know how much I love dragons, you now know how much I want to go to Wales, because apparently you can just walk up and say, good morning, dragon. This is a thing I need to know in lesson one of learning Welsh. They're afraid of whales. Thank you, Maggie. On behalf of everyone here, including the dog who is staring at me because he wants treats, we wish you the very best of reading. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you here next week. Smart Podcast Trashy Books is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.